When you think boots, you think Ariat. You think comfort from day one and durability to day 1,000. You think steel toes on the job, square toes on the dance floor, with style that owns a Saturday night and still looks sharp enough for Sunday dinner. And through every mile and every moment, you're thinking Ariat boots. Boots that show up, stand out, turn bad ideas into better stories, and still punch the clock come Monday morning. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find your Ariat boots at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.
Welcome along. Everything got a bit tetchy this midweek in La Liga. So much for the new season's restraint on showing red cards. 7 in the 10 games. I would have added one more myself. Osasuna's Iker Muñoz for chronic overacting. He was rolling around on the floor like an extra from the opening scene of Saving Private Ryan to get Morata sent off. There was a proper range of offences, from Abdor Mumin moaning to the referee to Chimi Avila stamping and Noyan Sanset turning full Jackie Chan. And that was just the players. Arrasate was sent off, Luis Garcia Plaza jumped up and down like a toddler when Alaves were denied a late penalty. You're 50 years old, man, think about yourself. And of course, Getafe's Pepe Bordalas wasn't going to miss out. He got himself embroiled in a war of words with Iñaki Williams. And you know what all these guys have got in common? Lots of hair on their heads. And yet Arturo Vidal says it's the bald blokes who are complicated. Bordalas has got unnaturally thick hair for a man of his age. Arrasate's got more hair now than when he got sacked by Real Sociedad 10 years ago. Mikel Arteta leaps around like a madman. His hair is shiny and luxuriant like he stole it from a crow. And yet apparently it's the ball guys who are complicated. If these managers are unhappy with the officials, they should have paid the referees committee for technical reports, because that's what Barcelona were doing all those years. Yes, the Negreira case has taken a step closer to the courts, which is good news for Barca, who will now get to clear their name and explain why they paid 8.4 million euros for technical reports into referees. Yes, with no dodgy penalties thrown into the price. Definitely not. Jose Maria Negreira is 78 and he has a full head of hair, and yet Arturo Vidal says the baldies are to blame. All of which shouldn't be allowed to overshadow Girona being top of the actual league. Eric Garcia got the winner at Villarreal. Everyone scores for Girona. Barca's slip at Mallorca opened the door. Marc-Andre Ter Stegen, of all people. Real Madrid beat Las Palmas. They take on the leaders tomorrow because we're into one of those endless weeks. Barca hosts Sevilla tonight. We were telling you last time that Terry was going to that game for just 35 euros. The even better news is that he's now blagged a ticket. So he will be getting in the comfy seats. You don't need to worry.
Now I've just got to blag a lift.
Yeah, you can't walk up that hill, can you?
No, that's done. Yeah, no, tick that box.
Oh, right, Terry. So,
complete freebie.
Yes. Well, good. You deserve it. So it's on tonight. So we're back in it. So hopefully, so we'll have to speak quickly because we need to get it done so people can listen to it. So we start all over again in a couple of hours' time. Interesting round, as I say, a bit of a theme for red card. We need to talk about Negreira because some people say, one of our correspondents said, why don't you talk about it more? And basically because it's like an active court case or prosecution case.
Yeah.
So it's hard to say until, I mean, it seems like there is a case to answer because,
yeah.
But it's sort
why?
Of
they, why would
yeah.
you?
Yeah, yeah.
It beggars belief that it went on for so long before it was brought to light. I look forward to hearing explanations.
Yeah,
that's pretty much all we can
say. That's
really.
It. Come on, go to court, explain. Give us a reason. Give us a reason why this happened.
There may be a case of they wanted to do a study on referees, but that amount of money.
Yeah, yeah.
You could have paid someone from school.
I'd have done it cheaper.
Yeah. So it's Spanish football, isn't it? It's so dramatic, and particularly with the two giant clubs. There's always something in the background, and it's always been like that. Will it change? Probably not.
I mean, for all we slag off VAR, it has helped, hasn't it, in that respect? Because again, you'll see it on social media, one of the dodgy penalties from that have gone by in the past. They weren't the only team getting dodgy penalties in the past.
No.
Were refereeing standards off? So yeah, I'm for all that, it annoys me, VAR, but it's harder to make allegations. It's harder to fiddle stuff. Basically, I'm not as I say, nothing's proved. No one's been proved to have fiddled anything. But
VAR definitely has its. It's not perfect.
Yeah,
but it has brought to light. You need clear evidence now and some of these strange decisions, although we did get one last night.
Yeah.
Atletico, we'll talk about that game and the goal that was disallowed. And,
well, shall we? We'll roll
I wish VAR would be more proactive in the feigning of injury issue as well.
Yeah. Let's do that complicated game, shall we? So, I mean, it was. I didn't see it live, so because I was out with my sort of rock and roll lifestyle. So I saw the score, and I thought, oh, what's happened to Osasuna? Have they gone off the boil? But no, as I watched it back, and it was like they were proper full on it, weren't they? And
second half,
second half, not
the first half. First half, Atleti have got this issue at the moment. There was 9 players missing last night. They've had these. Game after game after game, they had the misfortune or good fortune. Now, when you look back, the game against Sevilla was postponed. So since that game, they've had Valencia, they've had Lazio, they've had Real Madrid. Now they've had Osasuna away. Not the ideal game. 9 players missing. So only one change made last night, and that was forced because Savic was missing. So Vitor came into the defence. So it's the same midfield players, same wing back, same two up front. And they started off surprisingly looking sprightly. They started off well. They looked fresher, sharper, and took the game to Osasuna and dominated for about half an hour. Scored a good goal. Samuel Lino has been really effective since he's taken up that position as left wing back. Griezmann and Morata are firing on all cylinders. But it petered out. And after 35 minutes, Osasuna had a good spell just before half time. And it was already evident then that this Atleti team, because they're having to play the same players in every game, they were on their last legs just before half time. And then at the second half, the start of the second half was an absolute onslaught from Osasuna. I don't think there are many teams that would have survived and keeping a clean sheet. Atleti did for the 90 minutes, but there was a 20-25 minute period where they never got out of their half. It was the Atleti that we probably, I think it's fair to say, don't particularly like, where they were defending a lead. Morata and Griezmann drop back in. There's no out ball. They never get up the pitch. They never get across the halfway line. So they invite pressure. And the defence drop deeper. They feel confident they can defend anything crossed into the box. But there was 3 or 4 really good chances for Osasuna. 2 in particular to Chimi Avila, where they should have scored. And the only reason they didn't was because they lacked quality on the finishing. It wasn't because of last-ditch defending from Atletico or find safe from Oblak. It was opponents missing the target from good positions, really good positions. So they got away with it, Atleti. And then, lo and behold, out of the blue, they break. And the only time they broke in the second half and scored. Riquelme coming on the sub. The bench was really thin. I mean, you look at Atletico's bench last night, it was... basically, Galan, Rodrigo, Riquelme, Azpilicueta, and then Marco Moreno, Salim El Jabari, Adrian Nino, Ilias Costas, Antonio Gomes, the spare goalkeeper. So there was no options, There was no options in terms of changing the front two. And then now, of course, you've got Morata suspended as well. So
we need to talk about
need some players back. The reason I went for Atleti at the start of the season to win the league was, and I've explained it before, less drama. Yeah. Pretty much the same squad as last year. Some sensible signings like Azpilicueta and Soyuncu. Memphis did well in the second half of last season when he joined. So I thought they had the less drama in terms of squad. Barcelona was up in the air. I think they look better since the transfer window, despite their struggles against Mallorca. And Real Madrid with Benzema leaving and the long-term injuries. So I thought Atletico looked set for a good season and were a little bit more reliable than the other two. Yeah. But that's been blown apart by 9 injuries and now Morata suspended. So can they get through this little period?
Can we get to the red cards? yes. So I think we need to go from the disallowed goal, don't we, for the...
Yes.
So, right, was were they right to disallow the, what was the goal? Were they right to disallow it?
It was a corner. It's the usual mush pit in the middle of the six-yard box. Jose Jimenez throws away, literally shoves a player away from being marked. I think it's Aymar Oroz. He shoves him away, who then bumps into Axel Witsel. And there's a collision, and Witsel does get a blow to the face. It's not intentional. It's a consequence of Jose Maria Jimenez fouling Oroz, who then falls back into Witsel. And from what I can gather, as the ball was delivered to the far post, because the cross to the far post meant that this melee that was happening
had no
effect. So the ball is driven to the far post. David Garcia, one against Hermoso, easily wins it, pounds it home from 6 yards out. But the whistle had already gone.
Right, okay.
That's what I was told. Right. So it didn't go to VAR. The whistle had been blown before David Garcia headed the ball. So that was the reason the goal was disallowed. When you see the replay, you're thinking, the initial foul is by Jimenez, so penalty. Or is it one of those where the referee just delays the whistle and doesn't give anything?
Well, yeah, why not? Why not give yourself a few seconds? You've got the VAR as the backup, haven't you? So you might think, I've just seen Witsel being fouled, but why not give it a second just in case you've missed? In the melee, it's easy to miss stuff, isn't it?
And also the fact the ball's gone miles over their heads to the far post.
Yeah.
So none of those players that were having a little scrum had an impact. They wouldn't have hit it.
Having said that, it's not like that's an offside. And so them not being involved in the final play means that what they do is irrelevant. Obviously, if you punch someone off the ball...
Yeah.
It's still a free kick or penalty, whatever, and obviously the red card. But so it doesn't necessarily rule it out. So I guess if he's seen clearly a foul, he would blow his whistle. But obviously, what he hasn't done is given himself a few seconds or given the VAR, let the play happen, and then say to the VAR, have a look at that. Scroll
this out for me
and find out the order in which
it would be
happen.
Impossible for the referee to see that sequence of Jimenez marking Oroz. They were tussling and he pushes him away.
Yeah,
and as he pushed him away, he then bumps into Axel Witsel. But he is a bang on, there is a collision with the head, so it's understandable. Witsel does get hurt, goes down, and then David Garcia smashes home the header.
Yeah,
but Witsel had gone before, so that's the problem.
I sort of see I've got some sympathy for Arrasate, but I'm normally a big critic of managers. I think they need to grow up, a lot of them, and I get that there's pressure, all of that. I don't think he helped his team by...
No.
Because then Jimmy Avila is then loses it. Yeah. And
you mentioned Munoz down there.
Yeah.
Acting. Jimmy Avila, he'd already been booked, and then there was a collision bust with Morata.
Yeah,
just a minute or so before the eventual
the shoulder to
this shoulder to barge to the shoulder, and he goes down holding his face. That's where I'd love to see VAR just say to the referee quickly, it's all it takes, he's conning you, no contact with the face, another yellow card.
I would love to see that after the event. I'd have a little sort of cheating panel after the match day. And issue subsequent red, match bans or fines or whatever, something. Because on the Munoz one, the giveaway is that his teammates all just ignore it. He's lying on the floor doing Polex. And everyone's just wandering around and they're all just ignoring him. And he's like tap him on the shoulder. He's been sent off, mate. He can get up.
What Jimmy did then was... disgraceful.
Ridiculous. Yeah.
I mean, it's his second time this season where he's committed a diabolical piece of play.
Yeah.
The first one was against Berenguer against Athletic Club earlier in the season, 2 foot tackle.
For a bloke who's terrible had challenge. Serious injuries in his career, you would have thought he would a little switch somewhere would say, calm down. Don't, what are you doing tackling people like that? Or, it's not a tackle, is it? It's just jumped at him, hasn't he? It's just assaulted him.
And you're right. That comes from the fact that the manager has behaved recklessly on the bench. I get it to a degree. I get that split second where you might lose it. But then to carry on, I was waiting for a different colour card after the red last night for Arrasate. I thought, is there a black card where he's banned for the season? Because he was just going on and on and on. And at the same time he was doing that, Chimmy was verbally abusing the assistant referee as well next to him.
Yeah.
So the whole thing is escalating out of control. It was a passionate game. It's a passionate stadium. They're playing big opponents. They feel hard done by. I get all that. But the manager, I don't want to. I can't condone his behaviour, and other managers. You talked about Alaves. The game had finished last night because it was the last piece of action. I think they were wanting a penalty or something.
Yeah.
The game had finished. They were walking off the pitch. The stadium was empty, and they were still asking the referee to look at VAR. I'm thinking, what would you want to do?
Bring everybody back.
Bring everybody back. So we, I know there's pressure involved and the emotion at the moment, but Arrasate has to behave better than what he did. There's too much action going on around referees now. They're too much at the forefront of people's anger and frustration, and we see it spill down to grassroots football because people think it's okay. Oh, if that manager can do it in the Premier League, or that manager can do it in La Liga, and all he gets is a booking or a red card, then. Yeah, I can do it on a Saturday and a Sunday morning, a culture in
the game. Yeah. I mean, it's always long existed. We need to get rid of it. It's that way around, isn't it? You know, it's always been there since when I was playing as a kid. People behave ridiculously around referees, and it's one of the things that puts people off football. Is the truth of it, isn't it? When people say they don't like football, it's often because they all behave really badly, particularly around match officials, and it puts people off being refs and all of that.
But that was a difficult game to referee last night because the antics of both sets of players. But the one that really irritates me when you see a player go down and he's holding his face, we see the replay, there's no contact with the face. Oh, that has to be punished. It has to be stopped. Because if you're the referee and you see two players go up for a collision, and one goes down holding his face, and you haven't really had a clear view of it, then, there are times where the referees do book the player or send them off. And that shouldn't be the case. And I think anything where players are trying to get opponents sent off by pretending they've been struck in the face, by faking head injuries, it's ludicrous, isn't it? Especially in this day and age where there's so many camera angles.
Yeah.
And everything is witnessed properly now. You can't go down holding your face and there's no camera angle. And we didn't see that. He's gone down. He must be hurt. That doesn't happen anymore. So please, footballers, stop it.
Yeah.
And I find it really, really irritating.
Yes.
I find it really frustrating if I was playing now.
Yeah.
And someone that I challenged didn't get hit in the face and went down and the referee came across and booked me and I know full well that player's cheating and he's got an advantage. It would really wind me up. So it needs to be stopped.
It's actually pathetic. Iñaki Williams.
It really is.
Yeah.
It's so pathetic, isn't it? When you see them afterwards and they're going down holding their face and they're looking for blood, you're thinking, touch on the shoulder.
Yeah. So Iñaki Williams called out Bordalas, didn't he, in his style of football. Says he hates the style of football. They're stopping the game being played and all of that. That said, I mean, the red in that game, there was a red, I didn't know whether to reference Jackie Chan or Bruce Lee or whether the kids, there's a new Kung Fu hero, but he kicks the bloke in the head.
With the studs.
Yeah, yeah.
Studs up. Yeah. It's a Kung Fu kick. It is karate kick. And Sansa's his second time sent off this year. And he's a skillful, creative, technical player that is an athletic club player. So he can be aggressive and he's strong. But he's not a dirty player, but somehow this season he's ended up with two red cards, both silly offences. He learns from his...
Right, I need Terry to reconnect here. Because
on the bench. So that's a first for him.
Yes.
We know he gets booked on a regular basis, but this time he didn't even have to play.
Oh, sorry, we missed a bit. So who were you? Who was the last bit that you were referencing? Sorry.
Yes, sorry, just cut out there. It was loads of bookings. Damien Suarez.
Oh, right, okay.
No surprise there.
I should have known. That's who,
but he didn't play. He didn't come off the bench. So one of those rare occasions, because he gets away with a few yellow cards, doesn't he? Where you think, how has he got away without being booked until the 80th minute? Or some games he gets away with it completely. On this occasion, he didn't even play and he got a yellow card. So karma there for Damien Strike. But no, it's what Getafe do. They're going to irritate Bordelas. That'd be Walter for Ducks back. He has his style. He's responsible only for Getafe, the supporters, the club, and the players. That's all that matters. He's not responsible for how aesthetically pleasing La Liga is and Spanish football is. That's not his responsibility. And I'm not saying I'm all for it, but I embrace managers doing something different. And we'll refer in a minute to Mallorca as well. Getafe play the way they play. And he's doing a good job again. He's a team that just about avoided relegation because he came to the club. If he does exactly the same again this year, which I think he's going to do, they're picking up wins at home, they get draws away, they're doing it in their own style. And that's his job, that's his responsibility. So I don't get why other clubs frustration again from Iñaki Williams because they haven't beaten the team they would like to beat. But no, I have no problems with Getafe as long as it's within the laws of the game.
So you mentioned Mallorca. Let's talk about them and the 2-2 draw with Barcelona. Stats on this one, Terry. Barca had 70% of possession, but only managed 4 shots on target in the game. They were behind early on, equalised through Rafinha, Abdon Prat, and then Fermín López got the 20-year-old got the eventual equaliser. So what was your making of Barca's performance, Mallorca's performance?
Barcelona have struggled against Getafe and Mallorca away against two teams that sit deep, play from five at the back. So that's something that Barcelona are going to have to improve on when they do face a team sitting deep with that many numbers behind the ball.
Yeah,
it took Lamine Yamal and Fermín López to come off the bench to change things and quicken things up. But it wasn't a terrible performance from Barcelona. They're conceding too many goals. They didn't concede a lot of chances. But what I found interesting, why I make the reference to Getafe and Mallorca is Mallorca, when you're now we talk about some of the other teams in La Liga this year, if you want to play Barcelona and play like Barcelona and you're Mallorca and you're Getafe and you're Las Palmas, there's only one outcome. You're going to get beat. If you're playing Real Madrid and Barcelona and you want to play like them, you're going to get beat because they've got better players and they've got a better team. So you have to do something different. Now, Aguirre this year has been criticised because they made some decent new signings. Sergi Dada is the example. He's not playing. He's on the bench. He's probably their best technical player. And there is an argument that Aguirre, when he joined, come back to Mallorca, was the right manager for that time. But now they're getting players, they perhaps should be playing a different style of football. I get that to a degree because I think there are players there that Mallorca could play differently.
Yeah.
But when they play Barcelona, I applaud the way they played. They played two up front and they have two big players, whether it was Marici and Abdon Prat who got the goals to start with, then Karl Lahrin. And when you see the Barcelona defenders, first of all, facing two strikers, that's not something they're used to, and two big strikers. And then we see the direct goal from Rakovic. We see the mistake from Ter Stegen for the first goal. It was a good few seconds before the finish. They could have rectified the situation. But the second goal was goal kick, flick on, running behind. Ter Stegen not used to that situation. The defender's not used to that situation. I see so many times now the goalkeeper kicks the ball, it's a last resort, and they're just throwing away possession. And the centre forwards don't even challenge for it. They think, I'm not having that. I'm not going. So the centre half brings it down on his chest or lets it run through to the goalkeeper. Against Barcelona, Nico Martinez is suddenly looking in Araujo, and Araujo's a big old unit as well. They're looking at two big burly strikers that are getting service. They did not know what to do. The basic fundamentals of one going for the header, the other one on the cover, which would lead to the second goal, and not they don't have to apply them anymore. Yeah. Now, when the ball goes forward now, it's normally a centre forward on his own and two wingers or someone playing deep, sweep it up easily. So it's a real shock to the system when they come up against a team that direct playing two big strikers up front. So that's what I will reference the next game we're probably going to be talking about, Las Palmas. They're going down.
Right.
They've got two goals. One's a penalty. One from open play that was a worldie. They have loads of possession. I think they've got the second highest stat in the league in terms of possession. They never have a shot on goal. Yeah. They have no threat at all. They don't get enough players in the attacking part of the pitch. They're going to go down.
Yeah.
And, you know, there were one or two people who said that, oh, it was a good performance from Real Madrid. They should have been about 5-0, 6-0, 7-0. It was like a spar in a boxing training session with no punches being thrown back whatsoever. Non-stop attacking play. And they only managed to get two goals. Something to worry for Real Madrid, but for Las Palmas, unless they change, if they want to play the beautiful game and get relegated, that'll be done not long after Christmas.
I can confirm, Terry, I'm just checking. They are bottom of the, obviously, the bottom of the XG as well, as the actual goals as well. Let's have a look. I'll compare the leagues. So XG from the bottom up. Actually, they're not the worst. Actually, to be fair, there's quite a few Italian clubs. That's old school, isn't it? The Italian clubs, not creating any chances. Burnley, Sheffield United are in there. So actually, in the country, is in the big five leagues, they're not the worst, but they are the worst in La Liga for that. Well, not for creating chances at all, but that issue of turning possession into chances. It's a bit boring otherwise, isn't it? If you have possession and never create a chance with it.
They work so hard to get out from the back and don't get across the halfway line.
Yeah.
They'll have six or seven passes and it keeps getting taken off.
Yeah.
You know, as I said about Division Garcipimiento is the same. I don't think it should be. I do see a lot of coaches, and this is not a direct criticism of him. I don't know him well enough yet as a coach. But you see a lot of managers, coaches, that are self-promotion in terms of the style of football they play to the detriment of actually getting success. So it takes a different type of personality, like Bordalas, someone like Javier Aguirre, who don't care.
They're doing their
thing, and there will always be a club that will be interested in a manager like that.
Yeah.
Whereas some of these new younger coaches in England, in Spain, it's all about self-promotion in terms of this. I play the right way. You might get kicked every week.
They might get a job at a really big club doing that, mightn't they? Like Ruben Saish, who's who got Southampton relegated last season. Now is at Reading, who are going to get relegated from League One. Well, maybe not. But that again, it's like a fashionable coach who plays a certain style. Whereas Bordalas, he will never get a job with a Champions League. And he could have got the Sevilla job, isn't he? But he won't get a job at one of those clubs, will he? That's just...
So you never know. It might be a club that are, not as successful as they would like, with the right type of fan base. I'm not saying that for one moment it's going to happen. Yeah. I could kind of see an Atletico Madrid in Bordalas. If Simeone,
that's a good question.
Yeah,
I don't know. I think they'll see themselves as different.
Oh yeah, I'm not saying it will happen, but I can see someone who thinks that we're a big club, but we're an underdog in any league in Europe. And we should be doing better. This guy, he works with what he's got. He makes the best of what he's got. And there will be some club somewhere that thinks you don't have to play the beautiful game. Winning is more important than... I mean, he did a decent job at Valencia. In the circumstances.
Yeah.
But I do... Those coaches do irritate me.
We need to say...
Going to get a sack, going to get relegated, but look how good I am. Key possession.
We need to say more about Real Madrid. I think we can't just discuss Real Madrid in the context of Las Palmas, can we? So how would they? Vinny came back. There was some suggesting that he had a bit of a row with Ancelotti, and that there's a bit of discontent. Is that just Real Madrid?
I would hope not.
Chat? Yeah,
probably something to write about in general. Yeah. When you look at the relationship between those two, I think the benefit are clear for Vinicius.
Yeah,
Ancelotti took over. Since Ancelotti came back to the club, Vinicius has flourished and become one of the best players in the world. So I'd be surprised if that was the case. Maybe a young player wanting to chomping at the bit to want to get back and start instead of being on the bench. But Real Madrid were far too good for Las Palmas. But there were still issues there for Real Madrid that I'm saying they won 2-0. It should have been 5, 6, 7. but they don't take those chances.
Hmm.
I was good, pleased to see Hossidou's gone, pleased to see Brahim Diaz play so well as well.
Yeah.
So, they, you know, they've got those creative attacking midfielders and midfielders. Bellingham was resting. It was an okay performance. The best thing about this from Real Madrid's point of view, Vinicius comes back and they didn't drop any points. So yeah. We're not going to talk about this after this podcast. Whereas if you're drawing, like Barcelona do at Mallorca, or if Real Madrid drop points against Las Palmas, then we'd be talking about it in 3 months' time, saying how costly that result was. They got the job done.
Yeah.
It's not convincing.
You literally
They're
forget,
not convincing.
Don't you? Yeah.
Players rested.
Yeah.
And they did what they had to. But it was a comfortable win against a team that are probably going to get relegated, and Real Madrid should have won more convincingly than just the two goals.
Outrageously, Terry, we haven't discussed the team top of the league. We'll get all of the Girona fans who listen to us. They'll be like banging on the door, demand. There aren't any Girona fans. I've never come across one listening to us. If you are a Girona fan, get in touch. It would be nice to hear from you.
Especially yeah, well, the top of the league.
It's
the top of the table clash this week.
Yes,
against Real Madrid.
Which is is it early Saturday? Is it early tomorrow as we record?
It's 5:30 UK time.
All right, cool. Spanish. Oh, good, good.
So it's
right,
not the blackout.
Yeah. Yeah.
We unfortunately can't see Rio against Mallorca in the UK. That's the blackout kickoff.
Yeah.
3:15. But no, Girona. It's interesting. We were talking about Osasuna last night and their game and their struggles at home this season. But we have to look in the season is in its infancy, and you look at Osasuna's fixtures they've had at home.
Yeah,
it was Barcelona, Sevilla, Athletic Club, and Atletico Madrid, the first four home games. I guarantee when the season fixtures came out, Arrasate went, oh, God, look at that run of fixtures. Yeah. Now, Girona, they drew their first game of the season away at home against Real Sociedad, and we thought, God, that's a decent result. Real Sociedad weren't at their best. Girona nicked a draw. They've won their next six.
Yeah.
Now, that's a... And when you look at the fixtures, they've had Getafe at home, Sevilla, who are struggling, were struggling. They won 2-1. They beat Las Palmas at home 1-0. They won at Granada. They beat Mallorca. So all teams around them, maybe below them in the league when the season finishes.
Yeah.
But then because of consequence of winning 5 on the trot, their toughest opponent, Villarreal away, they have the confidence now to go and play well and have the belief that they can beat VRL away from home. And that's exactly what they did. So it's weird how you can, you know, if a fixture is start the season. Now, I'm not saying, but some of them are winnable. So therefore, that confidence breeds belief, and you can go and play VRL and they think, you know, we've accumulated this amount of points. Our target was to avoid relegation. I mean, they're 19 points already. Now 7 games in. It's an astonishing start, but you have to bear in mind the infancy of the season and how kind or how cruel the fixture list can be to give a wrong impression of a season. But Girona, they're not going to finish top. They're not going to finish top four. But and they do keep saying, rightly so, when Europe is mentioned, no. Relegation, 40 points is the first target, and that's correct. So they go into the game against Real Madrid, you know, with loads of confidence, loads of belief, backed up by the result they got last season when Tete Castellanos got 4 goals. Real Madrid will be smarting at that. Real Madrid will be disappointed that they dropped points against Atletico, probably feel they should have done better but did enough against Las Palmas. So that's going to be an interesting game, to be honest, a proper test for Girona and Real Madrid.
Yeah. But the title, the fixture list becomes a real issue, doesn't it? Because it's not, you know, it affects, like you say, it affects confidence, it affects how teams play. So what looks like a tough run on paper becomes, you know, what is a tough run of fixtures becomes a genuine problem. I'll give you the example, Almeria, who've now sacked Vicente Moreno. After losing 5-1 at Sevilla, I mean, not a massive surprise, I suppose, after that. In terms of that underlying... So, if you go for the XG, they've been massively underperforming on that, which isn't you know, there's not an excuse because you should still take your chances and you should make your saves. But it sort of does suggest that given a bit more time, they would have picked up a bit. But he's not getting the chance now because the perception becomes the reality, doesn't it? And you lose your job and he's gone.
Yep, it's an interesting one because I was surprised Ruby left after last season. So you wonder what's going on behind the scenes with the people running the club and stuff like that. And, you know, they did invest a lot of money to get to the top division. And they've pulled the trigger pretty quick on this one. I think the 5-1 defeat against Sevilla was damning in the fact that they did look a bit shambolic, to be honest. Yeah. But we have to bear in mind that Sevilla underperformed in the first four games. They've picked up 7 points in the last three matches. And things are looking brighter for Sevilla now. So they're going to be the Sevilla we expect from now on. I think it was really untidy, wasn't it? They had a lot of issues to deal with in terms of outgoings and incomings. It wasn't until the transfer window closed that we finally looked at him and thought, oh, well, they've got him, and they've got Sergio Ramos. And it does, Sevilla do look like the Sevilla that should compete in the group stages in the Champions League and be far higher than they are in La Liga. So they're going to be a tough challenge for Barcelona tonight. It's going to be a far tougher game for Barcelona than it was 3-4 weeks ago when they faced, if they'd have been facing Sevilla then. So we have to talk about the goal. Probably my goal of the season so far. There's been some good ones. There's been a lot of goals again this season, thankfully. But Luca Bacchio's was off the scale, wasn't it? Brilliant piece of skill, dribbling three players, beats three players, and fires it into the top corner. And
he started well, hasn't he? Yeah.
Yeah. Sevilla were good. Almeria were terrible. They get the goal. Luis Suarez scores from the penalty spot, his first goal of the season. So that might help his confidence because he's a key player in their quest to score goals to ensure survival. So it was just 2 points out of seven games. They're the only team that haven't won a match yet. It was the nature. If they'd lost two of, I think Moreno would have survived, but the 5-1, then it could have been more. It did look a bit shambolic, and then the owners have a decision to make and have made the call. It does appear Carlos Carvajal is going to be the lead contender for that job. He did a decent job at Celta.
Yeah. And the B team manager's in charge for the weekend, isn't he, Lasarte? So we'll see. You might know more by the time you listen to this than
we do. If I was them, I'd get a manager in place straight away because Granada at home is a winnable game for a team that haven't won a game this season. So I would get someone in immediately who might want that job and kick off. They might kick off with the first win in the season, and then the mentality changes.
Where should we go next? So we have Valencia 0, Real Sociedad 1, an assist for Kieran Tierney. Have you had a chance to have a good proper look at the Scotland left back? How's he gone?
He's, as you'd expect, with so many games coming up and them in the Champions League, they're in this pile of groups in Europe that are playing a lot, so he's been rotating. But this was a really good goal, actually, because I like the fact we have this. I'm not sure he speaks too much Spanish, but he looks up. It's what they call eye telepathy. ET used to be the thing that a manager of mine used to say, where sometimes you'd have a free kick, someone would put the ball down and look at someone in the box and you'd catch each other's eye and somehow you knew what was happening. And it happens a lot in football. And this was an example of that because it's a free kick. Valencia switch off. They give away a free kick. Pepelu fouls someone. They switch off. Kieran Tierney puts the ball on his hand on the ball, and he looks up and has a quick glance, and Carlos Fernandez makes a great run, and Tierney's on the same wavelength, slides him in. To the surprise of Valencia, who probably were expecting everything to be set up as we normally get for an attacking set piece. Brilliant piece of skill, though, from Carlos Fernandez. Great swivel, turn and finish to get the winning goal. And a deserved 3 points for Real Sociedad. Valencia were decent. At their moments in the game, two decent teams, to be honest. Valencia look at a decent team. Even with the young players, they look better than they have done for some while. So it was a close game. But Martini's done all right. And that was a really good piece of teamwork for them to get the goal.
Celta 1, Alaves 1. Did you tell me they didn't have a single shot on target? And it was a weird goal, wasn't it? The own goal by Rafa Marin. So that, other than that, I mean, Alaves were the better team, weren't they?
Oh, miles. By miles. A bit of a concern, I'd say.
Yeah.
Because after the Barcelona game, there was a lot of love for Rafa Benitez.
Yeah.
You know, it's been tough. We haven't won at home, but they've been playing well without getting results. And, you know, they're unlucky against Barcelona. And then last night, the pressure was on slightly because they're playing against Alaves, newly promoted. They're going to be down in the relegation battle. And you're thinking, this, after all that, this is the game to win and get your season up and running.
Mm.
And they were so lucky, Celta. I mean, they had Luca De La Torre sent off in the 68th minute. But only 20-odd minutes.
Yeah.
But for the rest of the game, they were outplayed. Every chance went to Alaves.
Yeah.
Samuel Amorodian was involved in everything. It was a little bit of a mixed bag.
Yeah.
Missed chances, scored a goal.
A goal, missed a sitter, didn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. He missed two or three as well. So, but all the chances went to Alaves. Luis Garcia Plaza quickly made the point after the game. Do you know what? They didn't have a shot on target, he said. Not one. Yeah, I mean, you think, no, they didn't. That was the only... So
how did that ball end up in the back of the net?
It was a 21-year-old who blindly played a back pass.
But is he 35, 40 yards out or something? Is he a long way from goal, isn't he? He just turns and whacks. He's under a tiny bit of pressure, isn't he? Just turns and whacks it.
And not whacks it. That's why I've got some sympathy with him, that the goalkeeper can have done more.
Mm. Yeah.
There's an element, I think, in the goalkeeper, once he goes past him, thinking it's a back pass, I can't use my hands.
Yeah. Well,
that should have been his first thought, should have been keep the ball out of the net, deal with a free kick. But he wasn't. So he lets it go past him, then he's chasing it and slides and ends up.
Tries to kick it, up in doesn't
the
it?
Net yeah, and everything.
Dived and grabbed it with his hand, couldn't it? And then it's only a free kick on the edge of the 6-yard box, isn't it? And no one ever scores from those.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
No, take your chances with that rather than, I can't handle it. So he didn't whack it past him, he just blindly looked. And you see it so much now. I'm critical of players that there was one in the Atleti game last night where it was just the first thought, I think it was Witzel, his first thought was to go back to the goalkeeper. And the Osasuna attackers wanted him to do that. It was like you almost like creep into position as a striker and you sort of tiptoe and you're trying to be quiet and the defender go and play it and you know you're going to hunt down the goalkeeper and try and get the some action from a rash clearance or cut the back pass off. Too many defenders nowadays just go back.
Yeah.
Can be quite annoying, but it normally is the safe pass. To say, apart from that, he played really well. He's 21 years of age. It's tough for him because Alaves need the wins. His team, you know, to get the equaliser. But apart from that, he played well. There was a nice moment, Jonathan Bamba and Aspas, after the goal, went up and consoled him. I joke, and he said, that wouldn't have happened in my day. I think I might have had sympathy for a young player that messed up, especially it's just gifted you a goal. Why would you be?
Yeah, yeah.
But there are some centre-halves that would have jumped all over if they'd done that, if they'd been kicking you around for 90 minutes. But it was tough on him and Alaves that they didn't get all 3 points. So and that's increased the pressure on Rafa Benitez a touch, I must admit, to be honest. He can't keep getting away with good performances. When I say good performances, not bad performances, not getting results, and then you are lucky to get a 1-1 draw at home to Alaves.
Granada 1, Betis 1. Betis, and that's another cracking goal, wasn't it, by Asan Diao, the young kid. Mm. Betis, they have loads of, again, plenty of possession, never really create a chance. And there is a danger that they're in an inflated position because basically they've scored a few brilliant goals that have proved very useful for them. So they sort of got away with one.
7-7 they've scored. They're scoring a goal, which is enough. I was critical last night. We watched both games at the same time. Half time, I looked at Betis and the touch map. They'd have about 4 touches in the penalty box.
Yeah.
And that sums them up. There was a little bit of promise down the right flank with Rui Bell and Hassan Diao linking up. 2 young players, enthusiastic, plenty of pace, plenty of enthusiasm. That looked promising. But whenever the ball was crossed into the box, nothing really happened. That day, there's a Zuli on the other side. They didn't get him involved in the game enough. They tried Osi Perez as the centre forward instead of Borja Iglesias and William Jose. Isco does what he does. There's always a highlight reel of Isco in a game, but there's got to be an end product. Now, and my opinion is, I think that by all accounts, Pellegrini's a little bit downbeat about the club because of the situation about registering players and players that left the club, and particularly Luis Felipe left the club after the window had closed to go to Saudi because the club needed him off the books and needed the money in to register other players. But that's not his responsibility anymore. Now his responsibility is to get, I think they've only got 3 centre backs on the books for the season now.
Yeah.
So I get why he's a little bit disappointed, but he's got to come up with solutions, and he's got enough good attacking players to have more touches in their penalty box, to create more chances and to score more goals. But he sticks to his system of play. 4-2-3-1, come what may. Players come off, players go on. It's like for like, and tactics don't change. I personally would like to see Guardado was midfield last night. Now, this is Betis playing against a Granada team who conceded 17 goals before last night.
Yeah.
I think he could have taken a chance and played Isco in midfield alongside Guido Rodriguez and play an extra striker. So, but he does stick to last night with Guardado and Guido in midfield, and Carvalho comes on, it stays the same. It's 2 anchor men, it's 1 number 10, it's the 2 wingers, it's 1 centre forward. I think Pellegrini needs to shape things up a bit.
Yes. Do you want to say anything about Cadiz nil, Rayo Vallecano nil?
No.
No. Yeah. You've got lunch to
go the highlights.
Go for lunch somewhere in Barcelona is the other option that you've got.
Yeah.
Right. Well,
I mean, I'm saying about Betis don't have enough touches in the box. They didn't even need one that scored a goal.
Yeah.
It was that good a goal, wasn't it?
Yeah,
long range effort, great goal, filter.
Yeah.
Even that weren't in the box.
Yeah.
So that's where the problem for Betis lies. And for Cadiz and Rayo, I must admit, my lack of enthusiasm for a 0-0 meant I didn't sit and watch a replay of the 90 minutes because it was on the same time, I think, as Valencia and Real Sociedad.
I looked at the stats,
which I did watch.
Nothing happened. So, right. Well, enjoy the game tonight. Should be good, shouldn't it? Barcelona, Sevilla, top of the table. Girona tomorrow against Real Madrid. Enjoy your weekend working at La Liga TV. I hope they feed you, Terry, and give you the right amount of water and all of these important things for an athlete like yourself. And we'll be back with another podcast next week. So enjoy the round of games, everyone, and thank you for your continued support.